Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Quick Slants, the podcast, is brought to you by Nissan. Go to ChooseNissan.com today for great savings on year-end models. I'm telling you, you can get yourself a Murano or a Rogue, Pathfinder, you get Titan is out there, you get a Frontier, any of those, you'll be happy as a clam driving around in the snow or the sleet or the rain.
Quick Lancer Podcast. Today, Troy Brown stepping in for Gerard Mayo, and it's a significant upgrade. We talk Packers. We talk Vrabel. We talk free agency.
Yeah, it might be a little premature on that. We'll see if we get to that.
All that and more on
Quick Lancer Podcast. I just went freelancing on that intro right there. Troy Brown, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about yourself?
I'm real good, real good. And John Henry, the Skull Crusher, he's our producer here for the podcast. Are you down about that? That I just started, just freelancing on that?
No, it sounded fantastic.
Yeah, but I just teased free agency and it popped into my mind. I don't know if we can talk about it. I want to talk a little bit about free agency, but
I can cut it out, but now I can't because you're bringing it up again.
Nah, you'll see what I'm getting at because okay. It's more about Bill Belichick, the GM, v. Bill Belichick, the coach. And we're going to put the lie to the notion that the GM has been shanking the coach for year upon year. But before we get to all that, Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, Troy? Excuse me, Mike Vrabel and the Titans.
Yeah,
that's better. Yeah. Coming out of that. Boy, am I coming out of the chutes fast. They're hosting the Patriots. And I found it interesting because after their win, 28-14 over the Cowboys, Mike Vrabel took one of his players to task for celebrating on the Dallas Cowboys logo. Here's that audio of Mike chastising said player for that celebration.
That's not what we want as an organization. That's not what I want as a head coach. I want our guys to play as hard as they possibly can for each other, between the whistle, as physical and aggressive and as clean as they possibly can. And I get that there's things that go across the line between the whistles. Once the whistle blows, celebrate with a teammate, find somebody else in a Titans uniform, find a coach, and celebrate with them. But we don't need to do that. That's not what we want to do. I've talked to Kevin this morning. I'll talk to the team again tomorrow. And that goes for a lot of guys. That's not what I want. And if that's what they want, we see it very differently.
All right, Troy. So there you hear Mike. He makes a point about players having perfect comportment and etiquette on the field. How does Troy Brown, former Mike Vrabel teammate, react to this?
I mean, I can't help but laugh at that, man. Knowing Mike, he was good for rubbing stuff in
on good. Players. He was great at it.
And making them really feel it, and reminding them what just happened, what he just did to them, what we're going to do to them, just whatever. He was the master at getting under people's skin and getting into their mind. Even Tom Brady, he would do to Tom Brady as well. So it just kind of shows you that you have to make that transition from a player to a coach, or from an assistant coach to a coach. It's a drastic turn.
It is a drastic.
Just never thought I would hear Mike Vrabel say that.
And he always used to say,
"It'd be appalling."
Thought I would see the day.
Yeah.
I think that was Vince used to say that all the time. I never thought I would see that. But when you look at the fact that this guy went wings flapping after the Eagles game, or that he absolutely steamrolled Ben Roethlisberger, poor innocent rookie Ben Roethlisberger, getting steamrolled in 04. Poor guy.
I mean, he was constantly taunting other teams all the time. So, I mean, maybe not to the extent of where he ran to the middle of the field on the logo, on the visiting team's logo, and did something. But, I wouldn't put it past him if he would have thought of that.
If he had thought, or if the play ended right there, he wouldn't have missed that opportunity.
No doubt,
So. you surprised that he is a head coach?
No, I'm not. I think Vrabel always kind of had it in him to coach. He kind of knew a lot of positions and very smart guy. And I think he was taking a lot of stuff in, you know. So I'm not surprised that he's a coach at all. So, he made it to a head coaching job in the NFL very quickly.
Very quickly.
You know.
But so he did the legwork, too. He went to Ohio State. And I remember talking to him when he was out
there. Luke Fickell was the head coach.
Luke Fickell.
Helped him out a lot, I think. So I think he was very involved in that. You know, and, I think they helped him out a lot. And having the coach under Urban Meyer, you know, who's proven to be a very good college football coach. You know, learned a lot from him there as well on the college level. And just kind of transition that over to the Titans when he had the opportunity to be there.
And they're not bad.
Learning from Romeo Crennel, you know, who had a long history with the Patriots and the Giants and all their winning days. So I'm sure he's been able to take in a lot from a lot of different players and get it from different aspects of the game too as well. So I'm pretty sure that helps him, you know, with his preparation.
Plus he was so friggin' smart to begin with.
Exactly. You know, he knew everything, you know. I mean,
he told you, too.
He knew. He told you. He let you know about it, you know. Everything you're doing to let him know that you're tipping this off or tipping that off, you know, doing this.
It was great, too, because it wasn't just you guys that he would do it to. I mean, I'd go, hey, Mike, how you doing? I wrote a long story on him one time. You know, talk to his friggin' high school principal, high school coach, you know. You go up to a guy, you bust your ass, you write a story, you talk to a bunch of people involved in his background. You know. You want to make sure they saw it. They had a chance. Mike, you see that story? Yeah. Boilerplate. It goes boilerplate. I'm like sitting there trying to write this verbal rubdown of a guy who I thought was a great player, great, you know, emblematic of the pay. Yeah, you know what? That just came off the mimeo. Just anybody could have written that. Jesus. But, I mean, there are four guys, Troy, who I think are emblematic as much as anybody of the Patriots from 2000. And you predate that, but 2000 through 2010, and it's you, it's Kevin Falk, it's Teddy, and it's Mike Vrabel. Do you, from the inside, I mean, I'm close, but I wasn't on the inside. Do you agree with that? I'm sure there's other guys I'm missing, too.
Yeah, I mean, I play with a ton of great teammates. You know, Teddy obviously fits the mold, Kevin Falk, you know, guys that kind of just did whatever, you know, kind of, you know, I know for myself, you know, I was kind of always listening to what was going on around me at different positions and everything else, too, and defensive side of the ball, whatever it may be, just kind of taking everything in. And it was similar to what Vrabel did. We took a lot of reps on scout team, you know, and Vrabel had a chance to do a lot of different things. Like he would play safety. He would play linebacker. He would play whatever, you know, and just on scout team. And I think it's probably one of the reasons why he's such a pretty good coach already.
Let me ask you, and I'm going too far afield from the other things that are more timely, but I want to ask you this, too, because when I look at that team and the things that you guys shared during that period from 2001 to 2007, laying the groundwork and foundation for an organization, for a head coach who had already, you know, was on his last legs when he got here and started out shitty and then turned it around. It's different then than it was now. Have you felt anywhere that kind of sense of camaraderie and building something that you did during that period of time? Do you think you'll ever feel anything like
from
that?
From what again? Year now? From what? From
just in that period of time from 2000 to 2007 or so.
Have I felt it
just
any
that
other
place? Teammate, just that teammate camaraderie. I mean, there's a bond, I would think, between you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I have. I mean, but it's just like, I mean, we have. Just when we had those little get-togethers for those 15-year championship runs that we were on, man, and, you know, think about all the guys that was on those teams, man. It was just all good people, you know, not just players, but just they were just good people. Everybody got along, and, you know, I mean, for a locker room, like, we never really had any fights, you know, like fist fights between players.
And that happens, you know? Around the NFL.
It happens around the NFL, you know, and – guy could have their drinks on the plane and there wouldn't be any fights or anything, man. But, you know, it would be like, you know, maybe an occasional argument or something. But everybody just kind of got along, man, and fit in and did their thing. And that's kind of unusual. You know, you always hear about players getting their fights. I know in my early days, you know, Willie McGinnis getting his fight, you know.
And, who did he fight?
You didn't see the Willie, the story? Was it the one that comes on NFL Network?
No, the fight that I remember is
they talked about it a lot.
The Vincent Brisby, was it Vincent Brisby and Lawyer? Or Vincent Brisby and Rick.
Yeah, I think Crittenden. It might have been Vincent Brisby and Lawyer. So see that I mean, those things happened then, and you know there was Willie McGinnis and another teammate of ours. I let you watch. You have to watch the.
I know. I can't. I'm watching it.
Life of Willie McGinnis, I guess it's called. But yeah, there was. Yeah, he had a big fight then, man. Big bloody fight too. So yeah,
I wouldn't want to fight.
We never had anything close to that I can remember. You know, from those years. So.
Give me your five teammates you wouldn't ever want to have to fight.
Willie McGinnis, the top of the list.
Richard Seymour up there?
Richard Seymour would be up there. Matt Light would be up there.
Kevin Casper?
Yeah, Kevin Casper.
You remember Kevin Casper?
I remember Kevin Casper.
You could fight him.
Yeah, I probably could take him, but there might be, let's see. How many is that, four?
That's three. That's Kevin three. Casper's out.
Okay, yeah,
we got McGinnis,
yeah.
Seymour, Light.
Light.
Mankins.
Mankins is another one. He's mm-hmm. another one I would want to fight.
Ted Washington would probably chew an arm off while he was there.
Yeah, he was just big. Yeah, he was big. He was kind of rude, too.
So he was rude.
He was very rude.
Not a very nice guy.
No.
Nope.
That was the buffalo coming out of him.
All right. Bring it back to the future here. Patriots moved to 7-2 with their win over the Packers. And what was your number one takeaway from that game?
Yeah, I just think defensively, I felt like they played probably their best game all around. Playing against a player like Brett Favre coming into that game, I mean, they had their act together.
Or Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, who did I say, Brett Favre?
Yeah, you said Brett
Favre. I'm dating myself, huh? Holy smoke.
Aaron
Rodgers.
At least it wasn't friggin' Bart Starr and Don Mikowski.
I know. So tell me about it. But, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, a guy that people could argue is, you know, the best quarterback in the game today and one of the best to ever do it. And there was a lot of hype around the game. And they showed up and they performed, you know, out of this world. They took away all those broken plays that those guys make and they make look great. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't able to mount a big comeback against them down the stretch, you know. So they made him look like an average quarterback, in my opinion, and that's what they had to do. The coverage was outstanding. You know, the secondary seems to be playing a lot better and
the rush
a lot tighter. The rush discipline was so much better, you know. Adrian Claiborne not zooming by guys, you know, and Trey Flowers making plays and – you know, who was that? Lawrence Guy with the strip
Lawrence Guy
on
the
ball.
Strip,
you know,
Chung had the recovery.
Turnover
Jason McCourty bounces back from that long throw.
From a long throw. That's going to happen, though. You know, you're going to have some plays made on you. But you just don't want it to snowball. You know, and you continue to get beat and give up big plays throughout the course of the game. And, you know, he minimized that. You know, that's what you want out of your team. You want to see him respond to a little bit of adversity and, you know, and make it right after that. And he did that.
It's funny. You know, we talk about Jason McCourty. We talk about Adrian Claiborne. So often the decisions that are made personnel-wise that the Patriots make, there's going to be an assimilation period. First, your eyes widen when the initial decision's made. Holy crap, they traded who? They cut what? They're doing what with this?
Yeah.
And you just don't make any sense of it. And then the team goes through a period where there's an adjustment to the absence.
Yeah.
And the Patriots went through that, I think, with Brandon Cooks this year. But when you look at the overall, the decisions that are made, and I'm bringing this up because Malcolm Butler is in Tennessee, mm-hmm. Logan Ryan's in Tennessee, and mm-hmm. Deion Lewis is in Tennessee. But when you look at those decisions, well, Trent Brown's here, and he wasn't here. Josh Gordon, they found a way to replace Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Maybe not perfectly. Cordarrelle Patterson, they found a way to help their running game, even though it's not ideal, with Sony Michel, Jeremy Hill, and Rex Burkhead down. So it's amazing how they can find players to contribute, or they can move on from players like Jamie Collins or Malcolm Butler when they're not playing well and get out early on them.
Yeah, I think he's got a great knack for, you know, kind of letting players go, you know, either a year or two before their prime. You know, they may go somewhere like Wes left and had a – well, they had a great year in Denver,
year
and then it was, you know, kind of downhill from there. You look at Logan Mankins, when he left, you know, it was kind of like, oh, he played not even a full season in mm-hmm. Tampa, you know. And so they've kind of had been right on a lot of that stuff, You know, and then you always question, your eyes kind of open up like, they just did what? They just traded Chandler Jones, you know. Then they come back with the Jamie Collins thing. It's like, you know, what are they doing? You know, and they go and win the Super Bowl.
I mean, High is the only one who survives.
Defense actually looked great after they traded Collins, you know. So, yeah, so you can question all the moves that they make, and you can call it, you know, dumb, stupid, whatever, you know, outrageous move. You know, the Brandon Cooks move was kind of like one that, you know, for me, it was scary, like, pop, you know, like, they did what, you know? But I kind of felt like he wasn't a solid fit for here, for what they do here.
I agreed with that. Yeah, because I was like, you know.
Yeah, but it was a guy that you had. That was making plays down the field, getting PI calls for you. He wasn't really that route runner that you were looking for.
Wait till you replace him before you trade him. But then there's other things like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'll never stop questioning the decision to only get a second in return for him.
Yeah.
When if you put him up, you know, on a league-wide auction, you would have done better.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, but there's moves like that. But I'm sure it was more behind that move, you know, because you actually sent him to San Francisco, which there's rumors about other people wanting him. Probably would have gave you more. You know,
but there's that. But what interests me in that is when Solder signs with the Giants and they get Trent Brown, I say to myself, what the? Because
you're looking at Trent Brown. You see how athletic he is, and then you read all the things about him and, you know, the knocks on him. He doesn't always play hard. He's not this and that. And I'm looking like, why would somebody trade a guy, get rid of a guy at 6'8", 380 pounds that moved the way he does?
Do you know what my theory is?
He wasn't playing hard.
They owed him a favor. Look, I'm gonna give you a quarterback of the future. Do me a solid and send me back that kid Brown.
Yeah,
Trent Brown.
That didn't make a lot of sense though, because you just signed a guy to $100 million of contract.
Oh, so I know.
You need somebody to protect him. But you know.
But I could. That's how.
They felt like they had got whatever they wanted to get out of Trent Brown, and they weren't going to get anything out of him, which is send him to Dante Scarnecchia, and he revives the kid's career. And I feel like the Brinks truck is backing up
after you've already. but if you traded Jimmy Garoppolo
for Trent Brown, but you traded him.
But if you traded Jimmy Garoppolo last November, and you're Kyle Shanahan, and your phone rings, and Bill goes,
I need a tackle.
Yeah. I really like Trent Brown. Yeah. Oh, we like him too. Yeah. Well. Remember what happened last October? Yeah. All right, you can have him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be stunned.
Yeah.
One guy in this conversation that I want to mention, though, is a guy the Patriots kind of tried to get out on, Rob Gronkowski, in April. They wanted to deal him. And a lot of conversation around that, you know. And as a result, it's interesting to see they didn't get out on him. And if you look at, for instance, Pro Football Focus, and I know they're not the end-all, be-all, but Gronk has consistently been a player who's rated between 90 and 91 every single year. And now he's down to 75. And you can see him not being himself yet.
Instead of A-minus in college, B-plus in high school.
75.1?
Grade scale, 94 to 100, I think is
– Oh, 90?
That's 100 in high school, but like 90 to 100.
90 is
like
an A-minus to me. 91 is an A.
So he's a college.
I didn't get a lot of A's.
So he's got an A-minus, you know.
I was a big-time guy.
He's a 75. He's a 75 guy.
I was a 78 to 82 guy. You know, if I had a 70 and I needed – and I knew I needed to get a B-minus.
We'll use the college scale on you. 70 to 70. 70 to 80 is a C.
Fair
enough.
He's
playing as a C or a D.
Yeah, he's playing as a
65 in college.
He's playing as a cat, and he's always been an apple.
Yeah. Who's that?
He's playing like a cat, and he's always been an apple. Gotta get him up to banana.
He's always been an apple. So, yeah, and to see the drastic fall off from where he was, and you hear Lombardi, you know, who used to be here with the Patriots, knows Rob Gronkowski, knows Bill Belichick, and he's making comments like he slowed down, you know, he can't run the way he used to. You know, and I can't see it because I always felt like Gronk was just a lumberer, just lumbered downfield and built speed up, you know.
But he's made so many plays.
He made so many plays.
Like Kansas City made plays. Buffalo made plays.
Yeah.
So
you know, those games he's made some plays. I just don't think they're coming as frequently as they used to. You know, just kind of line them up out there and, hey, we see somebody on him and give him a chance. You know, and he really hadn't had those chances. In the red zone, they haven't gone to him, haven't called plays for him. I don't know if that's by design or not.
Yeah.
But they really haven't done that. You know,
for the first few games, he was
drawing two or three guys. Yeah, they weren't going to let Gronk beat him. You know, they didn't have much else to worry about on the field. You know, but, you know, after Edelman gets back and you got Gordon on the field and, you know, you see Gronk make some plays late in the game, that really helped the team out. You know, he's still able to do those kinds of things. So I'm wondering if he's they just kind of like, yeah, whatever, we're going to do something else here because we want to go to somebody else, or we just trying to see what we got for down the road, or if they were just doing things to just kind of be like, you know, he can't do it anymore on a regular basis.
And that brings me to the conversation about free agency that I alluded to, because we've talked a little bit about the guys in and the guys out in the past. And this is a little early to get into it, but when you have Trey Flowers playing at the level that he is, Shaq Mason already got his deal, so he's not going to be a free agent. But Rob Gronkowski carries a huge cap hit next year.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady carries an even bigger one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decisions to be made. Steven Gostkowski's up. Chris Hogan's up.
Hightower.
As I said, yeah, Hightower's got a big number.
Big number.
But, I mean, you got a lot of guys.
Yeah, Trent Brown.
Trent Brown, perfect, another, yes. So those are guys they're going to have to make decisions on.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these guys, Trey Flowers, a lot of these guys aren't going to have – aren't going to turn down big bucks from any other team. So, but we see what Bill's philosophy is on it. He's let guys walk before, let guys go through free agency, and then try to, you know,
see if they match
them and get them back, if it's worth it, you know. But they'll probably put that dollar price on all those guys, and if it's too much, they end up walking. But man, it seems like you got a pretty good steal with Trent Brown.
Trent Brown and Trey Flowers.
And Trey Flowers, you know. I think he may be able to budget with Trent Brown. I mean, with Trey Flowers a little bit, you know. But if there's teams out there that are really looking for pass rushers and want to ramp up the defense even more, he may end up commanding a price that may be a little too steep for the Patriots to pay for a guy like he wasn't a household name guy.
No, Danielle Hunter. Vikings, $80 plus million guy.
Yeah,
and so you look at
I just
Trey
don't
Flowers,
see them. I don't see
same
them.
Level.
I don't see them doing that. With they'll probably just go young, try to find a guy in the draft or something, or some free agent that just came off of Achilles or something.
Exactly right.
Knee,
yeah, I mean Josh Wood's another guy. I mean
that lost some value.
You're going to have to make a decision. I mean, yeah. Josh Gordon, at some point, I mean, he's got bills. They're not small.
No
and
doubt.
He's making, I think, $785 or something insanely small. But he's going to have to – look, they're going to have to make a decision with him. But as we talk about Josh Gordon, as we talk about this offense, I think we both look at Josh Gordon and have talked about this on the TV. He's not in great shape yet.
Oh, no. He's far from being in good football shape, but decent football shape. He's got a ways to go before you see him at his peak fitness level, you know. And right now, man, the tank is empty very quickly.
Especially when they go tempo.
You know, with him. So they go tempo, he has no chance, you know. And he was tapping out. He was tapping out in that first drive, you know, getting out the field. So he's not ready for that kind of pace, you know. He's not ready for a regular pace on a consistent basis in the league, you know. So it's just, that's what happens when you're not on the football field, you know, for 5 years. So, I mean.
And you miss training camp, too.
You know, good thing. Hopefully they get some games where they can kind of play them in the shape where they get a big lead on somebody or something, just run the crap out of them during the game.
Yeah.
Know? So, and get them back into football shape. You know, I'm sure all that stuff will help him down the stretch.
Well, they walk up to him. A bye week. Enjoy yourselves. Everybody but you, Josh.
Everybody but you. You got claim as part of your rehab,
right?
You know from the hamstring conditioning.
We're just gonna sprint, buddy.
Yeah.
My last question before we wrap this up is: I would be stunned if the Patriots aren't able to handle easily Marcus Mariota just days after taking care of business against Aaron Rodgers. You?
Yeah. Well, we saw another one of Bill's assistant coaches.
Good point.
You know, have his number. Let's see if one of his former players can dial up some stuff, you know, to give him some trouble. Again, we talked about how smart Vrabel is. And,
yep.
You know, he's got three of his players down there. He's got a GM that was part of the Patriots organization. And, you know, see if he can tap into what he used to tap into to get into Belichick's skin and get into Brady's skin.
Ooh, good point.
See if he can tell his players what to look for, what he used to look for in Brady. It kind of tip off some stuff. So that's going to be interesting to watch for, you know. And, of course, Brady, I mean, he's going to have a lot of stuff. He saw what Mike Pettine did last week, and I'm sure Vrabel already knows you got to throw different stuff at Tom. you know, to try to get him thinking back there, make him hold the ball for an extra half a second or something. You know, so I'm sure he'll have about 15 to 20 different defenses and looks drawn up to try to throw him off, because that's the only way you can play.
Of all the things that Brady has to remind him of how old he is and how long he's been playing, I got to think that playing against Mike Vrabel, not playing against some other guy who was like 10 years in, but Mike, I think, was probably about 5 or 6 years in at that point, 5 years, whatever. I mean, he's a contemporary. That's going to be really, when you look over and go, holy shit, I'm old.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and you look at Vrabel might be, is Vrabel maybe, is he younger than Brady? What year did Vrabel come into the league?
95, I think he was at Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, he's got him by a few
years. Because he played you guys in Pittsburgh in 97.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's got to be, you look over like, man, I'm playing against a guy that, a head coach that I won 3 Super Bowls with.
Not even a guy who's an assistant and still working his
way up. I know,
this
is the head coach of an NFL football team, and I'm still doing it. I hope he forgot some of that stuff he used to do to me in practice.
Holy crap.
He's not telling his prayers to look at my left foot, or my right foot, or my eyeball, my right eyeball. You know, if it's cocked a little bit, or if it's, you know, wandering off to the side over here or something, that I'm going to do this, you know. Hope he hadn't told all his guys that, you know.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great matchup. But,
it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great to watch Bill coach against Vrabel, Vrabel coaching against Brady, you know, Malcolm Butler situation, the Deion Lewis, who was so emotional when he left here about being appreciated. You know, you're so glad to have somebody appreciate me, man. Just give me some money. Show me some appreciation. Don't pat me on the back. Show me the money. Show me the money, you know. And, you know, obviously Logan Ryan, who, you know, wasn't big controversy with him leaving, but, you know, he was a free agent when he left here, but good player.
You've been down in Tennessee? You've been down in Nashville?
I've been down in Nashville. It's been a few years since I've been down
there. Do you like that city?
Yeah, it was on the up and coming, you know, when I was down there. So, but
good time, because so that place is going to be,
it seems like it hurt us even better now in these days. So, and it's not really a country town anymore. It's like whoever got a little bit of Disney actors and stuff, or Nick, whatever, actresses and actors and, you know, singers of different genres down there.
Why are you nodding your head? Have you been down there?
Yeah, I went there last year.
So
when?
I don't know.
This is Skull Crusher.
What month I went?
Yeah.
Did you have a nice
really,
time?
I heard it's really up and coming.
The vibe. So, yeah, you just don't expect to go down and hear country music all the time.
Yeah, a lot of bachelorette
walking around
parties.
With cowboy boots on and everything.
It's like the bachelorette capital. Like, that's where there's a lot.
The ladies sure do love their country these days. All right, Troy, thanks for being here.
Yeah, man, I appreciate
it. Skull Crusher, John Henry, thanks for manning the soundboard. We got a soundboard now. Before, it was just, we did it on my phone and we all huddled around it. Now it's a soundboard. All right, talk to you next week. See you.